people think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think
class war.
Class war, the only war.
We want to just quickly send a nice friendly message to the Fraternal Order of Police in Philadelphia.
This is an anti-Nazi song.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Rebel Beat, a Firebrand Records podcast. My name is Aaron, and this is your edition of Class War on the Dance Floor for the month of August 2017. Our special guest on the program is a Jamaican dub poet who's considered by some to be the godmother of rap, hip-hop, and spoken word, Lillian Allen. She's a writer, educator, and a grassroots activist, and we'll meet her in just a little bit. Today's episode is a true rebel reggae dub clash, so sit yourself back, roll yourself up something good, and enjoy.
Hear these words of truth. Hear these words of truth, my friend. Rastafari is our only friend. Ja Rastafari is our only friend. Yeah. Why should we trust in politicians? And why should we vote at their elections? When there is no place for we, you and me, in a secret society, they call us minorities. Why should we trust in politicians? And why should we vote at their elections? When there is no place for we, you and me, in a secret society, they call us minorities. Them have them new plan I implement, and it's their new world order government. We're in such a predicament. They're gonna treat us all like shit again, yeah. You know, to this there is no mystery. Still only those who have asked to see, they will see. It's only injustice and hypocrisy they're setting up for you and me. So why should we trust in politicians? And why should we vote at their elections? When there is no place for we, our Rastafari set us free, yeah. We gather in one accord, chant seven songs a day, and chase their evil adversaries away, yeah. We gather in one accord, chant seven songs a day, the Lion of Judah, we gon' change, yeah. So why should we trust in politicians? And why should we vote at their elections? They want one country to run the world, making it hard for the boys and girls. Oh, long them think them are gonna last. They're gonna fall like the evil rulers of the past. Oh, Lord Nebuchadnezzar, Julius Caesar, Napoleon, Mussolini, and Hitler. Oh, secret society, they call us minorities.
21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. Destruction. Weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Are you ready to sacrifice to end world hunger? To sacrifice to end colonialism, to end neocolonialism, to end racism, to end sexism? Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creative. Revolution means treating your mate as a friend and an equal. Revolution is sexy. Revolution means respecting and learning from your children. Revolution is beautiful. Revolution means protecting. Is love.
Welcome back to the Rebel Beat. Hope you enjoyed those first two tunes. We first heard from Morgan Heritage with Politician, and then Debi Young with Asada Shakur with Revolution. Hands off Asada. Connect with us at the Rebel Beat on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or shoot us an email at rebel@ckut.ca. If you dig the Rebel Beat and want to support us, tell a friend about the show, make sure you subscribe yourself, and leave a rating or a review on our iTunes page. It helps other people find this podcast. Also, we're always happy to take your donations. You can head over to our website, rebelbeatradio.com, and click the big PayPal donate button at the top of the page. Any amount helps. In other news, we've been talking a little bit on the last few episodes about the Channel Zero network of anarchist podcasts that we're a part of, which officially launched this week. I am so pumped that the Rebel Beat is part of this important platform, and now you can find all your favorite anarchist podcasts in one place at www.channelzeronetwork.com. Let's hear a little trailer from one of our sister podcasts on the network right now.
How can we imagine a world beyond prisons and police, borders and surveillance?
Rust Belt Abolition Radio is an abolitionist media and movement building project based in Detroit, Michigan.
Each monthly episode amplifies the voices of those impacted by mass incarceration and explores ongoing work in the movement to abolish the carceral state and racial capitalism.
Tune in to Rust Belt Abolition Radio here on the Channel Zero Network and visit www.rustbeltradio.org to learn more.
All right, welcome back to the show. As we said in the intro, our special guest today is a pioneer in the genre of dub poetry, Lillian Allen. We're going to get to that interview in just a little bit, but first, if you've never heard of dub poetry before, it's a pretty uniquely Jamaican blend of poetry, literature, and reggae rhythms. Interestingly, it's been propelled to prominence mostly by Jamaicans living in the diaspora in places like London and Toronto, and by figures such as Linton Kwesi Johnson, who we've interviewed on the Rebel Beat before, Clinton Joseph, Afua Cooper, and our guest today, Lillian Allen. One thing listeners of the Rebel Beat will appreciate about dub poetry is its unignorable radicalism. Born in the tumultuous race riots of the 1970s in Britain, dub poetry rebels like a wall of sonic Molotovs against fascism, xenophobia, and colonialism. Lillian Allen was born in Jamaica, but has been living in Toronto since she was a young woman. Not only is she considered by some to be the godmother of rap and hip-hop, but she's also credited as being one of the first to bring feminist politics into the dub poetry movement. She was in Montreal in June to perform at the Swoney Periopopolo Festival, and I got a chance to sit down with her for an extended conversation at CKUT Radio. But before we get there, let's get primed for some dub poetry. Here's the great Linton Kwesi Johnson with "The Great Insurrection."
Such a friction that it bring about a great insurrection, and it spread all over the nation. It was truly an historical occasion. It was event of the year, and I wish I had been there when we run riot all over Brixton, when we mash up in the police van, when we mash up the wicked one plan, when we mash up the swamp 81. They want they make the rule of them understand that we not take no more of them oppression. And when me check out the ghetto grapevine, they find out all I could have find. Every rebel just a rebel in them story. Them a talk about the power and the glory. Them a talk about the burning and the looting. Them a talk about the smashing and the grabbing. Them a tell me about the vanquish and the victory. Them said the Babylon them went too far. So what we had was fi bun to care. And one and two innocent getting more. But what? No, so it got some time in a war. No, so it got some time in a war. Them say we burn down the judge, we put up on the landlord. We burn down the judge, we never burn the landlord. When we run riot all over Brixton, when we mash up plenty police band, when we mash up the wicked one plan, when we mash up the swing 81. Them say we command their car and we gather ammunition. We build with barricade and the wicked catch afraid. We send out, we scout, we go find them where about. Then we farm up, we posse and we make we raid. We know them run gang up and counter action. But the plastic bullet and the water cannon. We'll bring a blam blam, we'll bring a blam blam. Never mind scar man, we'll bring a blam blam. When we mash up plenty police van, we'll be right back.
message of faith. We send out, we scout, figure find them we're about. Then we farm up, we passy and we make we raid. Well now them run gang up plan counter action. But the plastic bullet and the water cannon. We'll bring a blam blam, we'll bring a blam blam. Never mind scar man, we'll bring a blam blam.
This poem shall speak of the wretched sea that worships to these shores, of mothers crying for their young, swallowed up by the sea. This poem shall say nothing new. This poem shall speak of time, time unlimited, time undefined. This poem shall call names, names like Lumumba, Kenyatta, Nkrumah, Hannibal, Akhenaten, Malcolm, Garvey, Haile Selassie. This poem is vexed about apartheid, racism, fascism, the Ku Klux Klan, riots in Brixton, Atlanta, Jim Jones. This poem is revolting against first world, second world, third world, division, man-made decision. This poem is like all the rest. This poem will not be amongst great literary works, will not be recited by poetry enthusiasts. It will not be quoted by politicians or men of religions. This poem is knives, bombs, guns, blood, fire, blazing for freedom. Yes, this poem is a drum. Ashanti, Ma Ma, Igbo, Yoruba, Nyabingi warriors, Yahuru, Yahuru, Namibia, Yahuru, Yahuru sweater, Yahuru Africa. This poem will not change things. This poem need to be changed. This poem is a rebirth of a people, a rising, awakening, understanding. This poem speaks, is speaking, have spoken. This poem shall continue even when poets have stopped writing. This poem shall survive, you, me. It shall linger in history, in your mind, in time, forever. This poem is time, only time will tell. This poem is still not written. This poem has no poet. This poem is just a part of the story. His story, her story, our story. The story is still untold. This poem is now ringing, talking, irritating, making you want to stop it. But this poem will not stop. This poem is long, cannot be short. This poem cannot be tamed, cannot be blamed. The story is still not told about this poem. This poem is old, new. This poem was copied from the Bible, your prayer book, Playboy magazines, the New York Times, Reader's Digest, the CIA files, the KGB files. This poem is no secret. This poem shall be called boring, stupid, senseless. This poem is watching you trying to make sense from this poem. This poem is messing up your brains, making you want to stop listening to this poem. But you shall not stop listening to this poem. You need to know what will be said next in this poem. This poem shall disappoint you because this poem is to be continued in your mind, 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 in your mind.
I'm joined here in studio right now with our special guest on the show today, a real prolific dub poet joining us from Toronto. Welcome, Lillian Allen.
Hey, it's great to be here. Hi, Montreal.
All right. So to begin, a little bit about yourself. You were born in Jamaica, moved to Toronto, which is where you call home now. And you now have this really prolific career spanning over several decades. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, and how you kind of came to be the artist that you are today.
Yeah, you know, that every time I think about it, I'm feeling like I've gotten away with something. It's been such a great life. I started out very young, romancing words, loving what words would do, how it would take me out of the play and the chaos of my childhood. And I wanted to work with words and language. And so what a lot of people remember about me is that from very early age, I was making up poems and trying to write little stories and so forth. The main thing about that was, apart from people responded well to that, was that it gave me great pleasure. It gave me a real sense of satisfaction. And as that evolved through various stages of school and in high school, and later on when I migrated to North America, It became the place that I found comfort. It became my own place. It's the room of one's own. That was the room of my own. And it was almost like a fifth column, so to speak, using a military image. It was something that I could take outside of everything else that was going on. So, you know, I got into dub poetry long before the name was given to it, because I wanted to include some of the cultural nuances and codes and the things that I loved about the culture in the poetry. I mean, maybe if I could sing, I would have become a singer, but I can't sing. And I did fall in love with language and the poetic sensibility. And we were mostly doing Irish poets and English poets at the time, you know, but I loved what language did. You know, some of the poems I can remember, Silver Stocks Tonight, The Silver Moon Upon the Silver Sky, and everything was silver. And I not only could imagine it, I saw that for myself. I experienced it, you know, in those moments when you just let go of everything else around you. You can experience those things that other poets write about, and you can actually see it. Although it's supposed to be simile or a metaphor, you actually experience it as in that moment. So that's the kind of basic part of it. So, you know, when I got to Toronto, I continued my practice and became more engaged with community and realized that some of the things that were happening in the community, the Black community I'm talking about, needed a voice. It needed an articulation. It needed to be etched in history so people could understand it and refer back to it and know that this has happened. And I'm talking about some of the difficulties young people were having with the school system. When they came, they were streamed into lower grades. I was talking about some of the racism they were having with housing, some of the difficulty they were having with the police. So I wanted to chart some of those, and I wanted to be part of that movement that was fighting back. And that was my contribution.
I mean, it's so interesting right now, just looking at those issues that you're bringing up, looking at Toronto over the last few decades. And I want to kind of like contrast it with the present day situation in North America. So we've got, you know, this amazing burgeoning of a youth Black activism, especially in the U.S. with the Black Lives Matter movement. And you've, of course, got like a neo-fascist in the White House right now, a white supremacist. And yet one thing that you will often hear, maybe more so from Americans, is like, well, of course, you know, racism has unfortunately reached another fever pitch south of the border, but you all have it better in Canada. And I've heard it really well articulated, you know, by many Black activists here that, well, it might be hard to, you know, compare the two situations on a quantitative level. It's really important to not overlook the amount of systemic racism in Canada. And so it's just interesting to hear you bring up these things to kind of, I guess, debunk that myth.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was actually talking to my driver today, and, you know, I'm saying this is 40 years on, and what I've said is still relevant. The thing with trying to compare racism in one place to the other place, tell the person who have experienced it that it doesn't exist or it's a little different somewhere else. Tell the mother whose child was killed by the police that there's less racism. It's not the kind of thing that you can quantify. It's a human quality. And because it is so dastardly, it should not exist. So it's there. I mean, systemic in terms of all the institutions that we have to negotiate and encounter, all the glass ceilings. They're actually not glass ceilings. They're concrete ceilings with signs pointed, you know, or written on them. Mm-hmm. So, and then what I've noticed, and now many of my friends and colleagues have noticed, Black friends and colleagues, is the increase in the daily occurrence from ordinary people, from the ordinary shopkeeper, from the ordinary people on the bus, the people on the street, and so on. And they seem to have gotten permission, you know, from what's going on in the States, from the mean-spiritedness, and I can't even describe it. I'm a poet. I should, you know, of the... I don't know what you call it. The, yeah.
Sometimes there's no words. You know?
It's,
You know. Well, I want to jump back to talking about dub poetry, and I mean, this is an amazing, you know, genre, literary genre, musical genre. It's I love it how it's really kind of building a bridge between those media or those genre, whatever you want to call it. And we've had the privilege and the honor of welcoming other dub poets onto the Rebel Beat before. So, of course, last year we interviewed Linton Kwesi Johnson. We've interviewed Debbie Young, who is maybe part of like a newer generation of dub poets. But for our listeners who might not be familiar with dub poetry, how would you define it and describe it?
You know, it's let me just try, because it's one of those things that I do so much that when you ask me how to define it, you ask the fish how to define water.
Right.
So, you know, they'll hear a bit of it, but it definitely it's a poetic stance in itself. It's a voice that's been nurtured through Jamaican culture, to West Indian culture, to diasporic African culture, that infuses the rhythms of reggae and other Black music in it. It is a form that's intended to declare a right to exist and to call the system into account, you know. It's the rhythm and the heave and the sweep of the beat, the rumblings and the tumblings down to the dreams, to the beat, to the impulse to be free, to the life that sprung up in the heat, in the pounding dance to be free. We will burst open a window, crash upon the door, strip the crust of confinement, and seek truth and justice through cracks, through the routing rhythms of the musical tracks, 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 tracks. So, you know, it's
wow, I gotta say, I have to take a deep breath there.
Bring everything to me.
That was amazing. And it's like you essentially just defined it by embodying it and by performing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the embodiment of it. Yeah, so that's good. And, you know, it's so great to see a whole new generation, actually a couple of generation, and who have taken it on. And Debbie Young is, wow, can't tell you how proud we are of her.
For sure. I mean, one thing that's really interesting for me looking at dub poetry, I think I got into dub poetry through reggae, kind of as being, I guess, maybe a in a sense, a subgenre of reggae, because while dub poetry is for sure its own thing, a lot of it will include reggae rhythms. And but one thing that I really like, you know, looking at dub poetry in contrast with reggae, is that it's got, dub poetry has a very distinctive radical politics. And you can find, of course, large elements of that within reggae. Of course, you know, Bob Marley being a very political artist, Dennis Brown, many others. But not all reggae is explicitly political, and of course it doesn't have to be. But yet I find when I hear a lot of dub poetry, it really has this politics that's speaking to anti-racism, and, you know, in your case, like anti-sexism, and to the Black experience, to colonialism. And so I'm wondering, like, how did dub poetry get this politics?
Well, that's actually part of the definition of the form, right? This is the artistic driven part of the form. and not to say the other stuff isn't artistic driven, but I mean there are market forces connected to and related to reggae and commercial reggae. So that it doesn't make sense for reggae artists to be playing reggae without earning a living. Mm. And people have found a way that they could earn a living mm-hmm. by selling what popular culture will buy. And of course, there's a role for that. And I enjoy, a lot of that music myself. But we are doing this. We came through this as political work. Mm. This is part of our politics. This is part of who we are. This is part of us declaring that we want a better world. So, you know, while we want to celebrate what we have, we're out there on the front line. This is a poetry on the front line. This is poetry that is doing work. Mm. So we have got the poetry doing political work for us.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Another really interesting thing is we were just talking about Toronto before, but Toronto, surprisingly or maybe unsurprisingly, has a real blossoming dub poetry scene. And so we've, of course, been talking about Debbie Young, but there's also Afua Cooper, there's yourself, particularly driven by really powerful women, too, which I find interesting. And maybe the answer is obvious in the sense that there's a very large Jamaican and Caribbean diasporic community in Toronto. But how did that city in particular become like a real bastion for dub poetry?
Well, the fact is you do have a large Jamaican West Indian population there, but you also have a large political community. Mm. And part of what myself, people like myself and Clifton Joseph set out to do was to nurture other people. So there was a specific effort in our part to say, here's a voice, here's a vehicle for a voice. We know, we've heard you, we know that you have something to say. This is a form that's been named by us, by Okawanara and Linton, and what you're doing, it can be part of that. Let's be part of a movement. Mm. And we created a festival, we created an organization, we nurtured a lot of people in terms of that form. Toronto was also ready in a way for this intervention. People had bought into multiculturalism and they had looked around and realized that, in fact, in terms of their gatherings, the unions, and so forth, it was just them alone. Mm-hmm. It was so Euro-contextualized and Eurocentric that they were welcoming different perspectives. They were welcoming different voices. And mm-hmm. of course, culture is a very easy way to support diversity and ideas of fighting back and equity. When it gets down to actually allocating resources and making changes, I mean, that's a bit harder, but at least culture softens it and provides a space for discourse, dialogue, and, put some things on the table mm-hmm. so that we got very active and we were moving around in different communities and, getting the word out, so to speak, and trying to form coalition and to network with people who wanted to change and want to confront the system. The racism, the sexism, and other, inequalities in the system. And, move it in terms of where do we connect, and move towards intersectionalities in mm-hmm. terms of a range of issues, people's right to exist, sexual diversity. It's just that we figure that you know, somebody should be called into account. The system should be called into account. There needs to be change. More voices need to be at the table. Mm. And we need to build a larger, more inclusive collectivity. And we need to be looking at historic inequalities, because unless we address those, you know, it's really plain at this end of it. We have to go back and address and redress some of those historic social and economic realities.
And them chucks on some rhythm, and them chucks on some rhythm, and them chucks on some rhythm, and you hear him say, rhythm and hard times, rhythm and hard times, rhythm and hard times.
Also recognition. I know that one of the things that you've been credited for is opening up a space within dub poetry to talk about feminism and specifically gender and women's issues. And I'm wondering if you could elaborate on that a little bit in terms of bringing your own feminist politics into the music.
Well, yeah, that is very interesting, because if you know reggae music, it's largely male. Mm-hmm. And it was in the early days, even more so, right? So that you look around and, you know, you hear the things that are being said and, you know, you figure, where am I in this? Where is my agency in this? It was same with the political movements of the days, right? It was mostly led by black men, and you're kind of figuring, you know, something isn't right here. Where are women's voices? Where's half of the world, right? And so I basically, you know, just talked about things from my perspective, what I was seeing through my eye, my experience, my values in terms of equality. It's just not a race thing. It has to do with a whole lot of intersections. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, going back to what we talked about first, what is more, what is less, right? Preventing somebody from self-expressing, right? And preventing their right to exist as who they are, whether it's race, gender, or sexuality, is a crime. Mm. It's not just an injustice, it's a crime. and has to be fought and defeated. Mm-hmm. And so, so that was my, I wanted to make sure that it was clear that there is a woman and feminist voice, and feminism with all its complications. Mm-hmm. But as I say, I'd rather be a feminist than not. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud, actually, to be a feminist. Mm-hmm. So just raising those issues and talking about things like childbirth. Who talks about childbirth, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, look at that work. Look at that important, work that women have to do, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So,
and I know that I can actually, talking to you, I can hear so many traces of your work through Debbie Young, who I've become a big fan of over the years, and the way she touches on all these issues. It's you see a real legacy there, which is nice.
That's great.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some of your pieces, your songs that are some of my favorites, and hopefully some of your favorites as well. Let's start with Fight Back from your album Revolutionary mm-hmm. Tea Party, which of course won you a Juno Award. Tell us about this piece, Fight Back.
Yeah, okay, I Fight Back. Well, that piece was one of my earlier pieces. I don't know if you know the history of Jamaican women from the Caribbean who were recruited to come to Canada to work as domestics because the economy was opening up and women were getting more educated, middle-class women, and they needed to work. So who will look after the kids? Oops, Caribbean women. Mm-hmm. These women, they have their kids, they have their families, they have their inheritances you're going to, get. And of course, there's that big pull that from you were born, it's your pull. There's that pull. There's this imperialist pull that you have to leave to make something of yourself unless you're part of the very small ruling or merchant class. Mm-hmm. And even then they leave, Mm. And then when people come here to struggle, to do that kind of work, and most of those people were people who were nurses and teachers, and when they come to do that kind of work, then they had to face racism. Mm. And, they're just following the money. They're just following the money that's been taken out of the Caribbean, taken out with bauxite, with sugar cane, I wanted to tell that story because there were a lot of women who were being deported when they tried to bring their kids, who lived in public housing and they tried to bring their kids, or they tried to bring their kids and they didn't have them on their original papers. And so I was involved in organizing around that. And it just had to fight back. Mm-hmm. And that's what that poem is about. And it points to all the beneficiaries of the labor and the resources in the Caribbean, ITT, Alcan, Kaiser, Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, still has Imperial Bank in it, right? Mm-hmm. And those are very privileged names.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. We don't think about that. I mean, you just say CIBC.
Yeah.
You don't think about those colonial imperial implications.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
My children scream, my grandmother is dying.
moving on, I wanted to talk about another more recent piece of yours from your album Anxiety. And that's the opening track off of that, Black Voice, which is a really powerful one. Tell us a little bit about Black Voice.
Well, Black Voice, well, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, there was Appropriation Gate, so to speak, blow up in Toronto. Just some awful incident I won't go into. But
Maybe I'll just say quickly in a nutshell. It was, you know, a lot of Canadian writers saying it was okay to culturally appropriate, essentially, in a nutshell.
Yeah, and even offering a prize, thinking there should be a prize to people who are the best appropriators to write the stories of other people, take up the space, right? When we think about that, you think of the most appropriated culture in the history of the human race. It's Black people's culture, right? The entire makeup of Western popular music, 99% is Black music. Everybody does reggae, everybody does hip hop. It's included in everything, right? So, you know, there is a Black voice. There is a soul, right? And of course, you know, there are people who will want to debate that. That's okay with them. But I think that there is a kind of shared history and a spirit that's been passed down culturally that is Black voice. And it is it's a kind of standing up, and it's a kind of standing up in an embodied, meaningful way. And I think that connection from Africa and with Africa, and that sense of a larger world and a spirit and the ancestors, I think those things give it a soul, right? And so, you know, Black voice, you can't hide. It's just there. And when you stand up, it becomes something. A voice becomes when it stands for something. And more people are standing up. So the idea is as we make that journey, the voice is there, and we have to use that voice and stand up. And, you know, you talk about Debi being part of the, you know, the culture is you know, it's being connected up to her. There's a legacy. Well, the whole spoken word, the worldwide movement of spoken word is coming from dub and dub's popularity, its connection from the DJ and, of course, you know, influence from the States, you know. But it wasn't the beats that popularized spoken word or hip-hop, right? Totally not. It's the hip-hop culture that got influenced by reggae and DJs and, if not, you know, and dub and so forth. So that it really is a tribute to that voice that we see emerging with hip-hop culture, rap and hip-hop culture, the younger generation, and also it's spoken word people who, it's a larger culture that is embracing a movement of youth and people who want a voice. So that's what Black voice is.
Come on, Black voice can't hide. I tell ya, Black voice can't hide.
Black voice, Black voice, Black voice, Black voice.
A voice signifies the real, relational spirit through quest. Model dependent breath. A shadow's feel, no sorry. Operation, imagination, digital, virtual and reality, and virtual reality. Physics duality, beyond conventions to reinventions. A voice become when it stands.
A voice become
when it stands for something.
When it stands.
A voice becomes when it stands. When it stands
for something. Questionings and voicing to feel a sense of the real
in everything.
Poets turning routine into ritual, resounding sound symbols of language into language played.
And I'm really curious because I've seen you credited as being, you know, one of the godmothers of hip hop and rap because of that kind of lineage, you know, hip hop really coming out of a lot of reggae culture. And I'm wondering, like, if you listen to hip hop artists of today, people like, you know, Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick, yeah.
Do you still see that connection, that lineage? Like, how does that make you feel?
Oh yeah, I see the connection, and even it's even more recent now because a lot of the hip hop artists are connected to dancehall, and their parents are connected to the West Indies, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, I think that I think that the Harlem Renaissance gave Black culture in the Caribbean a kind of energy that infused it and carried it through, and in turn, Black culture in the Caribbean gave American Black culture the DJ and the hip-hop and reggae and mm-hmm. so forth. So it's a dynamism of the culture, and I think it's, I love it. I think that it's good. And, you know, I mean, from my preference, I'd like to see it more artist-driven, more political. I'd like to see those resources pooled, you know, as Clifton Joseph would agree. You know, if all the rappers brought their gold, we could probably buy one of the provinces. Just kidding. But you know what I mean? I'd like to see some of that get parlayed into actual political work. Like, I'd like to see yet a rapper, you know, go to a project and said, every kid who graduates high school in this project will be guaranteed a full education to their PhD or a full trade school certification, right? And just guarantee that. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just imagine how that would inspire people and influence other people to do the same. That's what I'd like to see the next move now.
Indeed. Again, we're speaking with dub poet Lillian Allen here in Montreal. She's visiting from Toronto for the Suoni per il Popolo Festival. Lastly, Lillian, I'd love to hear you perform some of your pieces if you would indulge us with that.
All right. You know, since we talk about the music, you know, we've been talking about the music. I would do a piece about reggae, the birth of reggae, right? The sound of reggae music came on a wave of pata, pata, of deeply rooted internal chatter, chatter, on wings of rhythms and melodies gone free. The bass drum, the heart, the bass drum, the heartbeat, and the rasta man pound. A bong bong, a bong bong, a beat them drums, man. A bong bong, a bong bong. And the sound all around, and the voice of impulse crafted into life burning darkness of light, of days journeying through the night, of rhythm pulse. Wails, dreams, and determination to be free of sight, of a vision that ignites, of a musical bam bam, fling down, bops, get up and stand up, jam, musical realignments of the planets, a joy and a singing for those on it. A liberation impulse, dig the colonialist grave, crunch of the 60s, button carried through the civil rights flames, spirit of the hippies, signifying new ways, the Black Power 5, the right on jive, women raise banners for their rights, communities organize, and workers struggle for human rights, for human rights, for human rights. But the core of the African self, separated by 400 years, ties blighted and nipped, a continental divide and colonialist lies. A sip from the bean of the African well, uncork the primal African self, and a whoosh, aha, a whooshy, aha, the well spring up, and a rhythm let loose, and reggae music found us. It was a pulse in the Caribbean that echoed bright, a voice and a beat squashed determination released, and the wondrous size of black people once again rose high from a little piece of rock called Jamaica, where Arawak and Carib bones lie. Came a breath of resistance, of peace, love, and liberation, spread worldwide on the wings of its artist and shaman. The bass and drum pranced like a winded fire. Chicken, kicking, 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 king, king, chicken, chicken. Check, king, king of a guitar strum. Songs of freedom, of spirit, of love, of redemption. A revolution from the drums. A revolution from the beat. A revolution from the heart. A revolution with the feet. A revolution.
Amazing. Lillian Allen here in studio at CKUT. So you're going to be again performing as part of the Suoni Per Popolo Festival. Really looking forward to that. You want to do one more before we go?
Well, yeah, I could do do a shorter one. When I was leaving home, I said, let me grab this because it's Montreal. And, it's a city that loves jazz.
Indeed, yeah.
So just wanted to connect in a blues singer in that because, just part of that whole spectrum of black music, emotive music. So this is a poem for Billie Holiday. This is a poem for Billie Holiday. Oh, Billy, you lived in your drawls. Sound swirling out of black. Rainbow splintering through deceptions of grays. Gymnician blues. So full of self, of music in your face proud. Passions burst into words. Pride aches, heartbeat, and slow defiance. Note by note, Bessie Smith's swing converges. Louis Armstrong blowing language, breaking words apart, scat, 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 scattering soul all over art, all over American culture. Billy's lips give shapes and hues to longings. Meditation on deep spirit, on pain of being, elusive love, motions in the blood, fire and history from the bones. Billy's voice, a poet's ease, and all that sass. Billy's voice, a poet's ease, and all that sass. Poem from Billie Holiday.
Amazing. Once again, Lillian Allen here with us in studio at CKUT. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today and for taking so much time. I know you got a performance tonight, so thank you once again.
All good, Aaron. Thank you. Thanks for loving the music and the culture.
We'll be right back. make you rock, I make you rock, I make you rock. This I wanna make you rock, I make you rock, I make you rock. Rock your back, oh, rock your back, oh, rock your back, oh, rock your back, oh, rock your back, 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 back.
Welcome back to The Rebel Beat. We are a Firebrand Records podcast and your monthly dose of class war on the dance floor. Be sure to check out Firebrand Records for some amazing political artists at www.firebrandrecords.com. It's time now on the program for the Turn It Up segment. And that's our segment, of course, where we look at an artist or musician or community group who are using their platform to promote revolutionary social change. And since transgender pride marches have been happening all across Turtle Island, so-called North America, over the last few weeks, we wanted to take a minute to shout out an incredible local trans artist and community organizer here in Montreal, Lucas Charlie Rose. Lucas is a black trans man based in Montreal who raps and fights. Recently, he helped to co-found a Black Lives Matter chapter here in Montreal and has been particularly active in the fight against police brutality, especially when it comes to cases of police assaulting or killing people with mental health difficulties. Here's Lucas speaking at a recent Black Lives Matter rally in Montreal to mark the police killing of a black man having a mental health crisis in his own apartment, Pierre Coriolan.
Where am I supposed to go if I'm having a crisis? If I can't have it in my own apartment, where am I supposed to go? Because I can't, that crisis is going to happen. I am a ticking time bomb. That crisis is going to happen because I don't have the money to see a therapist, because I don't have any help. I don't have pills. I don't have therapists. I don't have any of that. I'm a black trans person. I don't even have enough money to eat. Where am I supposed to go if I'm having a crisis, if I can't have it in my own apartment? Because that crisis is going to happen because nobody gives a shit about me. Nobody cares about black people who are having mental health crisis. Nobody cares. And it's not like people cared about Pierre before this happened. Because people allowed it to happen. Because Pierre was like me, a ticking time bomb. That crisis was going to happen because nobody was here to help before. We need to be there for black people. We need better mental health services. We need black lives matter, and black people who are having mental crises matter.
Again, that was Lucas Charlie Rose. Another amazing thing they've done recently is to put together the Trans Trenders mixtape, the world's first all-transgender hip-hop mixtape. You can find that on Spotify, and we'll post links to it in our show notes. Well, it's been an intense summer for trans folks, possibly culminating with Trump's notoriously hateful tweets that he was going to ban trans people from the U.S. military. While we at the Rebel Beat are anti-militarist and fundamentally think that the whole military complex needs to be abolished because it only spells death at home and around the world, to see Trump's move as anything other than disgustingly transphobic and pandering to his Christian alt-right fascist base is naive and short-sighted. In the face of this, and the near nonstop attacks that trans people face, trans folks deserve our uncompromising solidarity and support, and we need to lift up trans musicians and activists like Lucas Charlie Rose now more than ever. So we'll leave you with one more from Lucas, but before we go, we want to thank all our supporters on Patreon. Brian, Ryan, Megsha, Matt, Dan, Zachary, Joshua, Camilo, Benjamin, Jay, Ross, Israel, Benjamin, DJ Kill McKinley, Jesse, Dasha, Thomas, Ursula, Andy, Franklin, Hessel, Hunter, Lee, Frank, Yannick, Scott, and Anne. Thanks for listening. Check out our website, rebelbeatradio.com, to hear back episodes or make a donation. And we'll be back next month.
Sitting high on those trench clouds. Only thing you need to know is this is what trans looks like. 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 Long story short, we're super fly. Long story short, we're super fly.
Superfly.